Welcome to episode one of Forward Pressing. How are we doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. Episode one, Forward Pressing. The journey starts again.
Fresh start. So for all the new listeners out there, this will be our podcast reboot. So we had started a podcast earlier on, I'd say last year, called Real Time Soccer. And it was our first experience podcasting and everything like that. And after learning a few things and getting more used to the habit of everything, of being on a podcast, we decided to start anew.
Start anew, change the name, you know, the layouts and stuff. Obviously, the concept stays the same. We're still talking about the beautiful game. Soccer is obviously the main section, the main
football.
Football is the main subject of the podcast. That's not going to change and everything. New layouts, quick updates here and there. That really remains the same. But it's really the new layouts, some predictions here and there, maybe some bets. I'm not a betting man, you know me, but you know.
Oh, we're gonna make you a betting man.
Well, we're gonna make me a betting man this year.
But it's gonna be fun. We're just gonna talk about what we love to talk about.
Yeah.
And debate what we love to debate about, and just have a good time talking soccer, talking football.
We also got to mention that we took an extended break, longer than expected, for all the real-time soccer listeners. If you are still with us, sorry for the wait, and thank you for waiting.
Welcome back.
We're back, but you know, in with the old, out with the new. I think it's the saying. Well, maybe I messed it up. I don't know.
That makes sense. In with the old. No. In with the new
out with the old. That's what I meant to say.
All right, so episode one, let's go over some news and updates that's happening, because as well, I'm sure we have a lot of new listeners. I'm a United fan. Yanis is a Arsenal fan, so we have already some spiciness going on.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Of course.
All right. I was just curious because I mentioned this to a friend before, and I was wondering if you feel like you're the fan of a club before the fan of a game. Because I feel like I'm a fan of football before I'm a fan of Arsenal.
100%. I mean, both of us, we grew up playing soccer before I was a fan of any club.
Yeah.
So I think it's important, especially as people that have played the game, I think it's easier to appreciate the game. But I know a lot of people that have never played soccer or like football and have a great love for it. I think us as, players, we have a better appreciation, a different appreciation for it. We love the game itself and we can appreciate the game itself. Like we can watch any team and have a good time, you know what I mean? Rather than like somebody that's just a fan of like Barcelona and will only watch Barcelona games, you know what I mean?
Bandwagons.
Not anymore. The time has come and passed.
All right, you want to talk about you want to start with your Man U boys? I know it's hot in Man U right now.
Yeah. So first thing we got on the news list. So Ole's on the hot seat. What we think? I don't know. Man is just like really inconsistent. Our highs are so high and our lows are so low. We beat Leipzig 5-0 in group stage. We beat PSG. And then we lose to Istanbul 2-1. Like, how does that make any sense? Nobody knows. It literally makes no sense. You just have to question, like, how far the inconsistency is going to go. So, Ole's on the hot seat. And these last couple of days, we've heard some rumors that the club has contacted Pochettino, which most of you won't know this, but I've been – before Ole was hired, I wanted to get Pochettino. I definitely wasn't opposed to Ole because when he was hired, everything was going great. So I could see why, but it really felt reactionary at the time. I thought Pochettino would have been a better long-term hire. I still do think that. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, you never want to transition managers like that. You want to give people time and you want to give them faith, especially since Ole hasn't really had didn't really get back this summer transfer window, I would say.
So-so. I mean, you guys didn't get Sancho. That's a fail. That's a big L for you guys.
I think we had a lot of transfer targets that didn't come through.
That goes without saying. But you guys bought a bunch of, like, youngsters, which aren't really proven yet, that we don't know much about. So maybe time will tell in the future. You guys will be maybe we'll look at those transfers and be like, oh, Ole did you guys right. But I do feel like right now, Ole is in a situation where if he has a series of bad games, I think that might be a time to change. However, right now it feels like he'll always find a good result somewhere. Like the results against PSG, that wasn't expected. The results against Leipzig, okay, that may be not that. I think I expected a United win.
5-0?
Not 5-0. Definitely not. And then the Istanbul result, unexpected. We didn't expect you guys to lose that one. So you lose the games that you expected to win, and then you win the games that you expected to lose, it feels like.
And last year when we were playing the title, we had a really good record against the top six, but we lost and drew so many games against bottom level clubs, and that's why we finished where we did.
It feels like Ole is good against the top six, but after that he's not that great. I mean, you guys beat Everton today, convincingly, I'd say.
Yeah, we were dominating pretty much the whole game. We'll get into that after. But, yeah, it just seems like when we get bad games and he's on the hot seat, he ends up coming out with a result right after. It feels like we're always playing on the vibes and less, like, tactically. I don't know. He doesn't always get the tactics right.
Do you remember – I don't know if you saw that – you saw the Istanbul game, right?
Yes.
Remember that first goal from Dembaba when he was by himself in his own, and you're by himself.
35-year-old Dembaba.
I thought I was just crazy defending. I don't know how that happened. I don't know if you can blame Ole for that though, because that feels like it's a logical play for defenders to know when to go and when to come back and draw back. So I don't know who was covering, but somebody didn't do his job.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to get into that game, but.
I do wanted to ask you the question. Do you think he's going to end up – who will be the Man U coach at the end of the season?
I kind of think it's going to be Ole.
You think it's going to be Ole?
I think so.
I would say I think Pochettino will either coach – Manu or Chelsea. It'll depend on how Lampard does as well, because that's another issue as well. Well, that's another situation at Chelsea, who seems to be doing well right now. But I feel like Pochettino will either take charge of either Manu or Chelsea, depending on
Chelsea. You think?
I don't know if it'll be this season, but at least next season, depending on how it goes.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. But Liverpool though. They have some key injuries. Do we know the timeline on the injury for Fabinho and Van Dijk?
I mean, Van Dijk, it's a season. That's for sure.
Yeah, Van Dijk is not even a chance of coming back later.
Yeah, he might be okay for the Euros if the Euros take place, but that's really it. Like, there's no way he goes further than that. And then Fabinho, I think Fabinho's long term is not as long as Van Dijk. I think it's got to be 3 or 4 months or something like that.
But he's a key player for them.
He's their massive player for them in the midfield. I feel like he gives a cover for Henderson or Thiago to do their thing.
Who do you think is going to take his spot while replacing, like, on a consistent basis?
Well, I mean, they've used Henderson, Keita, and Thiago as a three. And then, obviously, Fabinho was playing in the back when Van Dijk got injured. So, he's already, I guess, replaced in the midfield. Defensively, though, I don't know. I mean, Matip isn't the long-term option. And Joe Gomez is... There's still questions about Joe Gomez, even though I think he's still a pretty good defender. And then there's that new kid that they have from the academy. I think his name is Reece Williams. Pretty tall, lengthy. I believe he played against Ajax and did well there. So he might be an option in the center of the park there. But they probably will jump to the occasion for a defender in the transfer window, the next transfer window, there's rumors of David Alaba being mentioned.
You think David Alaba would leave I heard Real Madrid.
But that's the thing. Alaba's been mentioned because Alaba's basically a free agent by January 1st. So he can pretty much go anywhere. Madrid seems like a good option. Liverpool is obviously a good option. There's also a mention of Barca and City. I know Guardiola loves Alaba because he obviously coached him in the past. So there's option for them. To be honest though, Liverpool has done well even with those injuries. Like Jota has been scoring a lot.
Yeah, Jota for sure. But do you think they get in the long run, not having Virgil especially, impacts them a lot in their title chances?
Yeah, it will impact them in the title chances. I do feel so because Van Dijk was their heart and soul of the defense, and I think even the team. I do feel like he probably is the most important player in that team. And even tomorrow, like they play City tomorrow, so it'll be interesting to see how that center back partnership, or even that back four, the entire back four reacts. Because I don't know if you've noticed or if you've seen a few Liverpool games since, but I feel like Trent and Robertson are very selective in their attacks now.
Yeah.
They don't go as high as they used to.
They're being more cautious.
Yeah, they're being way more cautious. I think that's probably Klopp just being cautious, being like understanding that he can't play as free as he would want as usual, but him being more cautious and like basically telling his defenders to like time your attacks, just know when to attack and when to defend more, or focus more on the defense, really.
Yeah. Speaking of being cautious, that Fulham-West Ham game today.
Oh, bro, that was...
That's a risky business right there.
First of all, I mean, West Ham gets the goal from an assist from Benrahma, which I don't know how he's a West Ham player to this day. It's a loan, I get it, but he shouldn't be a West Ham player. There's better teams for him. But then Fulham, oh my God, bro. 1-0, and you're going to try a penalty count of... You're losing 1-0. It's the 90th minute. You get a PK thanks to VAR. It was a PK, but VAR helped. And somehow Ademola Lookman thinks that it's a great idea for going for the Panenka there. And I mean, if you're gonna go for the Panenka, you better score.
I mean, it's risky business either way, right? Do you think you have less odds of scoring with a Panenka rather than like picking a side?
I think no, picking a side is always the safer option.
Because like if the keeper chooses a side, then the Panenka works. So it's just that the keeper decides to play a little slower or pick the middle because people will shoot in the middle.
The problem is that he messed up the Panenka. He didn't do the Panenka well. The Panenka swerved a bit to the right, and that's where the keeper... No, to the left, sorry. And then Fabianski was already moving to his right, so he was there. So yeah, he messed that up. 98 minutes, you were like, you lose a game like that, I would be pissed.
I would be pissed too.
I would be pissed. There were so many memes about him, like on the bus on the way back, like Ademola Lookman on the bus on the way back after he missed a 9-game minute.
Yeah. I mean, nobody else to blame but him. But it is what it is. It's part of the game. All right, let's get into these overviews of these coming games. Well, these games that actually already happened. But we had some big ones. Like this morning, we had Man United Everton. We can go over that quickly. I had to wake up early as hell to watch this game. I was on 3 hours of sleep, but it was a good game overall. United dominated, I think, most of the game. Some good goals. Bruno's insane. Just a good performance. Like after losing to Istanbul, this was a performance we needed against a good team. Everton has been great this season, I think.
Yeah, but James wasn't there.
Yeah, he was.
James was there? I thought he was injured.
I thought he was injured too, but he played today.
Did he play the full game?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know. I didn't know that. I saw the highlights, but I didn't see like James stand out or anything. So.
Yeah, he didn't do anything crazy. Everything scored first. Everything scored first. We always concede first.
Also, oh, there was a. I did see Calvert-Lewin, or Luka Dinha could have set up Calvert-Lewin for the second goal, and he just went. He got selfish. Maybe that changes the game. Maybe better decision making in the final third for Everton. Maybe that changes the whole game.
For sure, people were shitting on Martial a little bit too, but we haven't been giving him a lot of chances. Our form in the Premier League hasn't been good at all.
The way you guys play, it feels like you guys are aiming for Champions League, and but not really considering the Prem.
It's still very early on. I think the Prem overall is more important than the Champions League, but I won't complain about a good Champions League run, you know. Sheffield Chelsea was in the other game. That one started off pretty close. It didn't end up finished close, but it was 1-1 for a while.
The fact that this game kind of shows me a little bit about Chelsea's depth in the squad. Like, you now see that Havertz wasn't starting, Pulisic wasn't starting. This wasn't their best team, I think, but it was a lot of quality players in that team. Mount played, I think Mount started, but I think the key player was Ziyech. I think Ziyech is starting to come into his own now at Chelsea. It's been a few games now where he just started, and we're seeing him creating a lot of key chances. I think he had 6 key chances today, key passes. And I think 2 of them were for Werner for goals. Werner, too. Werner's starting to come into his own. Like, he's scoring a lot of goals consistently now.
Yeah, he's getting a run of games. I'm a big fan of Werner overall. So, I wanted him at United. But I wasn't worried, because he started off a little slow at Chelsea. But I think he's going to be a rock star this season.
it's just this matter of, like, finding your steps and finding your ground and finding your comfort and getting, like, used to the Prem and stuff, which obviously will take time, but it seems like he's doing well already. Even Havertz, he didn't play today, but in the few games that he has played, I think he's been.
Havertz is so tall.
Yeah, he's surprisingly tall, but I think
he's like 6'3".
I don't know if he's 6'3". I think he's like 6'2", 6'1", maybe.
No, I think he's like 6'3" or 6'4". Havertz is tall. I'm going to look it up. Yeah, he's 6'3". Yeah.
6'3"? Damn. Yeah, damn. Okay. But yeah, it's he's been doing well. I like the way he played in the against Man U. It's just a matter of him getting a good run of games as well. But I think for Chelsea fan, just don't expect him to score every game. He's a playmaker. He's not a goal scorer. Every goal that he scored by Leverkusen, so, and the ones that he scored with Chelsea so far, was either right place, right time, or just like tap ins, really. But he's not like a goals are goals, don't get me wrong, for sure. But he's not like a natural like goal scorer. He's more of a natural playmaker, if anything. Every team needs one, yeah.
And every team needs one. That's what the Ozil is supposed to be for you guys.
Don't even bring that name up again. That's a subject for a different day, but I have a lot to say about Arsenal's treatment of Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, I guess we can dedicate a whole episode to that if we wanted.
Yeah, we definitely could.
What about the Messi? Barca played Betis. Messi got his first goal of the season.
First goal out of that wasn't a PK, I think. No, I don't know, bro. Obviously, we know Messi doesn't want to be there, and it's obvious. Yeah, it doesn't feel like he.
He's not there. You can see it. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't care.
I don't know if he doesn't care, but he obviously feels like he doesn't want to be there.
I mean, you can see him, especially when he's supposed to be defending. He's doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, I mean, body language is very telling that the commitment isn't the same as it used to be in the past years, definitely.
He's not motivated because the team is just not there. It's extremely not well managed. Didn't the president just step down too, Bartomeu?
Yeah, he officially stepped down. He resigned. So,
Yeah, that was necessary.
yeah, I mean, that's the positive, I guess, in the seasons overall. I think Kuma is doing well with what he has. Obviously, a lot of youth with Fati and Pedri and Trincao as well, which are good, pretty good players. I think Pedri has been surprisingly better than I expected him to be this early. I didn't think he was going to have this many run of games at this time in the season. Like, even I didn't think he was going to play against teams like Juve and stuff. I didn't know if he was going to play Champions League that much, but he seems to be starting and doing well. Ansu Fati is obviously Ansu Fati now. I think everybody knows, like, the talent.
Yeah, he has a lot of hype around him. He's living up to it.
He's living up to his expectations, yeah, living up to the hype right now. He did get injured though, so he's gonna miss a few games.
He's one of those players that's like a little injury prone early on in their career, which isn't something you want to see.
Yeah. So we'll see how he bounces back from that. I want to talk about Dembele though. That's the one that I've been Dembele's been high.
Him too, he's in the same boat.
He's in the same boat, but lately though, like he obviously he's not injured right now, so he plays more. But even when he plays more, he seems more, I don't know. I like what he's, I don't know if he's it's a different commitment, but he seems in a different space. Like he seems more committed to the actual game. He seems more focused. Even he scored today, but I feel like he's showing a bit of more of his quality right now. If Dembele can get to his top level or his best form, it could really be a massive help for Barca. Because I feel like with a healthy Dembele, you can bring ginger pretty much any time.
They were trying to sell him in the offseason. Do you think they changed their mind?
I think we'll have to see by the end of the season.
Okay. So you don't think a January move is possible?
No. Right now, I don't think Barca can afford to lose Dembele. The way that he's been playing and the way that the finances in Barca are right now, they can't afford to like have him leave. Because if he leaves, that's a massive hole to fill as well.
Yeah, and they're not doing well in the league right now at all.
No, they're not. They gotta catch up because even Madrid hasn't been doing well. That's the I mean the big clubs aren't doing so well in the league right now. It's much.
And these are usually Champions League juggernauts.
Yeah. Surprisingly, Sociedad has been doing well. I don't know if it's just the signing of David Silva, but the team overall, they've been doing pretty well.
Speaking of Champions League, though, like let's say Liverpool's not as strong as last year. Barca and Madrid, not really a question. PSG is always a mystery. Is like we're going into the next game we want to talk about was Bayern Dortmund. Is this a Bayern repeat? Or is that what we're looking at?
In the Bundesliga or in the Champions League?
Both.
I mean, the chances are high, but I mean, just based on this game today, it feels like Bayern have not only, I feel like their depth is tested because they obviously lost Davies. Fonzie's injured for like a few weeks.
They have depth.
But they have the depth, yeah. So even today, like, Sané was on the bench. Which was, I mean, Sonny doesn't usually start on the bench. He's starting, yeah, but he's on the bench with Bayern. I feel like it's just because of this game, because he usually starts. But Coman and Gnabry, obviously, like massive, dangerous wingers, and it makes sense for them to start a lot of the games. I feel like Dortmund could have easily scored two or three goals in the first half, like Haaland. The final Haaland is a great finisher, but he doesn't have that final pass yet.
He's a monster, though.
If he's a he's a, no, he's definitely a monster. Don't get me wrong. But there's a few balls, especially I remember the first few minutes of the second half where he could have easily set up either Royce or Reyna for a tap in, and he didn't. The ball that he played just wasn't the right one. And that killed the play. And the next minute after that, Bayern scores.
Yeah. I'm not worried about him though. He's still young. He's learning, for sure. And as their system and chemistry get better, he's gonna know, he's gonna make less of those mistakes. But the way he scores goals, it's like a machine.
I agree. I also think that his body language is so like positive, because even when he misses a chance, and he missed a few today, it feels like he's always talking, thinking about like the next one, next chance, next chance, next chance, next chance. Because the two goals that he, no, the one goal, the second goal that he scored, no, the first goal that he scored was the second goal for Dortmund. It was more about the determination more than anything, and grit more than anything else, because he had missed a few chances before that. And you could tell that the body language was kind of down. And then he was kind of picking himself up himself, just kind of thinking next about the next play, next play, next play. So I feel like he has a good mentality in, on the shoulders. So that will definitely – and it shows in his – I mean, when he plays, like he's – and he's deceptively – he's actually very, very fast as well. I don't think people talk about
– he is. Because he's pretty tall. So, like, his speed is deceptive.
Yeah, he has deceptive speed. Like, I don't think people talk about his speed enough. He's surprisingly fast. And I today as well, like, he tracked back on the Sané goal. He's there, like, one of the three players that was tracking back and almost got to it. Obviously, Sané scores, but for him to actually track back after losing the ball, he lost the ball, yes, but for him to track back all this and kind of manage to catch up to Sané and stuff, even though he doesn't stop the goal, I mean, it was still impressive. But yeah, Bayern makes you pay for all your mistakes.
They do. They're just so efficient. They're just, that's the perfect word for them. They're just efficient.
Yeah, they're very efficient. The one issue out of this game though, and I guess that kind of affects my answer to your question as well in terms of the Champions League, is the fact that they lost Kimmich, and it looked like it was a bad injury. I think he might have hyperextended his knee, which could be a long-term injury. We don't know yet, but if that's the case, they have the depth to cover, but even Kimmich is kind of, it's tough to actually cover, because he's probably one of the best. To me, he's the third or second. He's one of the top three best center mids in the world right now.
Do you think they make the Champions League final? If you have to say right now.
Right now, I'd say yes.
Yes. Same. I was going to make a bet with you on that if you said no.
No, there's no way I can't bet against them. I think Alaba is in the form of his life. Lewandowski is obviously Lewandowski. Sané and Coman and Gnabry are just three dangerous beasts in the wings. And there's so many options, yeah.
There's so many options. And Goretzka is like box-to-box too.
Goretzka is box to box, but he bossed the midfield. Like, he's actually,
he's big. They have big players,
and we haven't even mentioned Thomas Müller yet, who's obviously one of the best playmakers in the world.
A legend,
but he's a club legend. But he's, you can't, like, exactly, you can't take him off of him when he plays. So they definitely have the squad to repeat, I'd say.
And it feels like every other club in the world has taken a step back for some reason.
Yeah, definitely. Like, City doesn't seem to look the same. Obviously, Barca is the Liverpool. I mean, I feel like Liverpool is more about the injury than anything else. But yeah, they've definitely took a step back. Even Juve took a step back, really.
Yeah. Well, they were missing Ronaldo a little bit, but because he keeps testing positive for COVID.
Yeah. But since he's been back, he's been informed. But, I mean, we'll see. I do think that Bayern would probably repeat, though, in the Bundesliga and the Champions League.
Bundesliga, I feel like it's going to be close. Dortmund's a solid team. Like, this game ended 3-2, but it could have easily been a Dortmund win.
Finishes a bit more chances. I do agree with you, though. It'll be closer than, like, the usual runs.
Yeah, I think Dortmund's trying to make a push this season. Like, they managed to keep Sancho, which was a big one. I feel like they're usually a selling club, but I feel like this time around, they're kind of making a push. They have a lot of players in place to compete again. Like, the squad that put Dortmund on the map, the Lewandowski, Royce, Götze, Hummels, like, you know, like all these players that were there that ended up getting sold off, they have like a new rejuvenated squad that's all still present right now. So I think they can make a... But we have a couple of games that are coming up. We won't go too in-depth on the analytics of them, but I want to hear your predictions. We have a big, like Liverpool City is a big game. These basically top two last season, going at it again. Atalanta-Inter, that's going to be a crazy one because Atalanta, as we know, is a very high-scoring team. And Inter is more of a meticulous kind of juggernaut. And then we have a Juve-Lazio again. Because we're coming up on the international break, so we have a little bit less fixtures to focus on the upcoming week, but still some good ones. Let me hear what your thoughts are.
Liverpool City, obviously a big game. I think that we're going to find out about Liverpool's defensive question marks in this game. We'll see if they actually have the answer for their long run or just for a very short period of time, because they've been doing well so far, but this is probably their biggest test so far. I do feel like City takes it though. I want to say 2-1 or 3-1, something like that.
100%. I agree. Yeah, it's going to be a close game. I think 2-1. I think Liverpool just if City's on top of their game, Liverpool could get overwhelmed. And especially not having Virgil there to command the back. I think they make a couple more mistakes and City capitalize. So I think 2-1 City. Is that what you're saying as well?
Yes. 2-1 City.
What about the Atalanta Inter?
This one is interesting too because I feel like it'll be high scoring. It always is when Atalanta plays. I'm gonna give Atalanta the edge. I'm gonna say 3-2 Atalanta.
I think it's gonna end in a draw. I feel like it's gonna be one of those games where Atalanta are like putting a lot of pressure on, but Inter is able to manage them and still be dangerous, so Atalanta can go like full out attack. And it's just gonna come to like a standstill kind of game, like a 2-2 is what I think.
I wouldn't mind a 2-2.
Yeah. And Juve Lazio, I think that's probably has to be a Juve win, right?
I don't think so. Actually, Lazio has been impressing in the Champions League. They drew their last game against I think it was Bruges, Cercle Bruges, the Belgian team. But the game against Dortmund, they played very well. They were impressing to me. So I don't know. Lazio is always an interesting team because it depends. If they show up, they might be the best team in Serie A. But when they don't, it's like it's.
You think so? They show up the best team in Serie A.
They're one of the best team in Serie A. I didn't say the best team. I think they're like top three. I think when they show up easily. Milinkovic Savic is still a solid Lazio player. I don't know how.
I don't. Yeah, he should have had a move like 2 years ago. United wanted him.
Yeah, but the fact that he stays tells me that he's either. He really loves Inzaghi's system, or he just loves Lazio as a club.
Or maybe he hasn't got the proper approach by the proper team yet. Maybe
that too. I feel like Immobile is always. I mean, Immobile is always dangerous.
Yeah, he reminds me of like a Haaland, where like he just has like really great finishing.
I don't know if I would compare it to Haaland. I kind of see what you mean though in terms of the finishing, but Haaland might be a stretch. I don't know about Haaland yet. I mean, yet technically, Immobile is older, so you would argue that.
You don't think? I mean, Immobile is older, and he used to play for Dortmund. He was in that system.
Yeah, he was. You could argue that Immobile is actually better than Haaland right now.
You think? Ooh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't take that.
In a sense, but not really. He does. There's things that he does better than Haaland does.
Yeah, for sure. He has more experience.
Yeah, definitely. So you could say that. I don't know. I think I'm gonna go. I might say a Lazio win, honestly.
I'm saying 3-1 Juve.
I'm gonna say 2-1 Lazio.
Ooh, okay. For everybody listening, we keep track of these predictions on a weekly basis, and so we'll award points for getting the winner right, and maybe an extra point if we get the score right. And then at the end of the year, we'll compare who has been more accurate, who had the better analysis. I think it's going to be me, but you know how it is.
I mean, didn't you say you guys are going to win against Arsenal?
All right, we don't have to go there. We should have.
That's what I thought. We don't have to go there. We'll spare you the moment.
One penalty decided the game, which was an iffy, but...
I'm not talking. I'm going to say it's Partey in the midfield. That's what I'm going to say.
All right. Save that for next week. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this week. First episode back, Forward Pressing. Glad to have you guys here. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Any last words?
I do have to mention, though, I'm not too sure exactly when I'll be able to put out this episode. I'm just waiting on Spotify. So hopefully this week it should be out. I'm hoping early this week. So just please be patient with us. But yeah, it'll be sorted out this week for sure.
Yeah, we're going to get a proper schedule for you guys and keep you guys updated. Follow us on Twitter and follow us on Instagram.
@ForwardPressing.
Have a good one, guys. Peace.